Welcome to Nice News. This is a broadcast about some unusual topics. I'm Joyce Vesper, your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer broadcaster. On Nice News, we cover information from all parts of the world on all different kinds of topics. The program provides a timeout from the usual daily news that doesn't always cover the happiest of topics. So please, give us a listen. Who knows what might give you a laugh or cause you to remember something from another era or even pique your interest, like this particular article, A Museum Fit for Pharaohs. A little more than a mile from one of the great wonders of the ancient world, a colossal modern-day marvel is finally ready to share all of its own treasures, said Sarah Kingdom in Forbes. More than 30 years in the making, the $1.2 billion Grand Egyptian Museum is as vast as 90 football fields and feels both ancient and new. Past a large triangular entranceway sheathed in translucent alabaster, visitors enter a soaring hall and are greeted by a 36-foot-tall, 3,200-year-old granite statue of the warrior king Ramses II. From there, a gently sloping grand staircase lined with the statues of other ancient Egyptian kings and queens leads you to the galleries, but not before you pass a wall of windows offering perfectly framed views of the Giza pyramids. Some 94,000 artifacts and 5,000 years of Egyptian history lie ahead. In truth, that entrance hall has all the charm of an airport, says Anthony Satin in The Times. King Ramses stands alone amid an array of food outlets and retail shops. But then I climb to the gallery level, and oh my, any single artifact from the old Egyptian museum mounted and lit properly would be reason enough to travel to Cairo, because ancient Egyptian art is so exquisite and so in line with our ideas of beauty. The gem, as it's called, displays countless such pieces, and one of its side buildings houses Pharaoh Khufu's solar boat, a 142-foot afterlife-ready wooden vessel so sublime that it wins my vote for one of the wonders of the ancient world. In a set of galleries that opened just weeks ago, there are wonders everywhere you turn, said A.J. Goldman in the Wall Street Journal. For the first time, all 5,400 items discovered a century ago in the tomb of the boy king Tutankhamun are on public display, and the effect is exhilarating. Tut's funeral mask and solid gold innermost coffin are predictably swarmed by cellophane-wielding visitors, but you'll be equally dazzled by gilded chariots, a funereal bed, and much else. For now, unfortunately, the sheer volume of visitors makes it difficult to take in, said Chris Buswell in the MSN.com broadcast. If you go, brace yourself mentally and physically for the onslaught in the museum. Getting the flavor of a musical route on 66 Road Trip. If you ever decide to travel the full length of old Route 66, there's only one song to start your drive with, said Justin Goldman in Afar. You'll be in downtown Chicago after a night at the Blues Club and a tour of Chess Records when you hop in your car, turn south, and crank up Nat King Cole's Route 66. In St. Louis, you'll stop at the National Blues Museum. In Tulsa, the Woody Guthrie and Bob Dylan centers. It's all westward from there. In Amarillo, Texas, you'll stop and catch some live music at the Golden Light Cafe and Cantina. And you'll pass Cadillac Ranch and a 10-car art installation that inspired a Bruce Springsteen song. At Standing on the Corner Park in Winslow, Arizona, it's all there in the name, because a statue of Jackson Browne, who co-wrote the Eagles' Take It Easy, marks the site that inspired the song's first verse. When you hit Santa Monica, California, celebrate the trip's end by channeling Guthrie's troubadour spirit and seeking out busking musicians on the pier. Getting the flavor of a musical route, 66 Road Trip. Getaways for bookworms. It's hard to say goodbye when a reading retreat ends, said Christine Hansen in Vogue. Such getaways, which have been growing in numbers, are typically organized by fellow book lovers, such as the two friends who founded Book A Break, or The New Yorker, who launched the Bad Bitch Book Club, now a community of thousands that has staged events, including a summer camp in a half dozen states. Hospitality sites such as the Michigan Glamping Resort, Lost Woods Farm, and Forest are also initiating such events, which enable readers to talk about books all day long and late into the night without an apology. I was apprehensive about spending 48 hours with 14 strangers and having to read a book out loud, said Sylvia Florman in Condé Nast Traveler, but at Page Break, held at a boutique hotel in New York's Catskills, the reading and related events quickly stripped us of our inhibitions. When a rainstorm interrupted an outdoor session, we all happily skipped through the rain, our books waterlogged as we ran along like kids at summer camp. That's Getaway for Bookworms. And here's the dawn of digital passports. As this year's busy holiday travel season has begun, digital passports appeared poised to change the Transportation Security Administration screening experience. In November, Apple joined Google in introducing a digital passport feature on its smartphone, providing an easy way for users to be cleared for takeoff for domestic flights. To set up your passport on an iPhone, open the Wallet app, click Digital ID, scan the photo page and chip of your physical passport, and snap a couple of selfies. On an Android device, open Wallet, scan the passport's chip, and record a quick selfie video. No passport? Check if your state is the one that offers digital driver's licenses or similar identification. Whatever digital pass you obtain, know that it's still wise to carry a physical passport or a real ID backup. Robert L. Sturm, the Vietnam POW who became a reluctant symbol of joy. In 1973, an AP photographer immortalized the moment Air Force pilot Robert L. Sturm reunited with his wife and kids, who were running toward him with obvious delight. The Pulitzer Prize-winning photo, Burst of Joy, became the iconic symbol of the return of nearly 600 prisoners of war from Vietnam. Sturm had been shot down over North Vietnam in 1967 and spent nearly 6 years in prison camps, including the notorious Hanoi Hilton. He was starved and tortured, but thoughts of his family sustained him through the solitary confinement and mock executions. What the photo didn't show, though, was that shortly before his homecoming, his wife had sent him a letter confessing an affair and asking for a divorce. The image brought a lot of notoriety and publicity to me, and unfortunately the legal situation that I was going to be faced with, said Sturm. It was kind of unwelcomed. Robert Louis Sturm was born in San Francisco to a family that owned a steel fabrication business. Sturm began earning his pilot's wings as an Air Force cadet while still at the University of Colorado. After retiring from the service as a colonel in 1977, he worked in the family business and as a commercial pilot. While in captivity, he shared a wall with another POW, the future Senator John McCain, and the two communicated through Morse code, said the Associated Press. Sturm's daughter, Lori, said her father told her that McCain tapped out a joke that made him laugh for the first time in his ordeal. While Sturm never displayed the famous photo, his four children gave it pride of place in their own homes. The intensity of the feeling will never leave me, said Lori, and how grateful I am that my father returned home. Robert L. Sturm, the Vietnam POW, who became a reluctant symbol of joy. It wasn't all bad. Peter Walney was a graduate student in 1992 when he came across two unsigned music manuscripts in the Belgian library. They were styled and constructed similarly to that of a young Johann Sebastian Bach, but Walney kept his hunches to himself. After years of musical detective work, Walney, now leading the Bach Archive Leipzig, finally confirmed Bach had composed them. Walney's officially unveiling of the pieces last week, and they were performed at the St. Thomas Church in Leipzig for the first time in at least 300 years. Natalie Payne, a French hornblower in the New Zealand Navy, may be the first musical ever posted to Antarctica. When Payne learned that the military members were stationed there to support scientific research, she asked her instructor if a musician could go. He said, sure, why not? Payne said, she's now a communications operator monitoring radio, phone, and email at New Zealand's Scott Base on the Ross Sea. She also serenades the crew and provides live music for ceremonies using a lighter, more compact beginner's horn that is less likely to freeze in her hands. Edward LaRue, 82, and Marlene Parsons, 78, took the marriage plunge last month, nearly 2 years after they met in a pool aerobics class at a YMCA in Illinois. Parsons said they splashed each other in the pool and romance followed, but they hesitated to remarry after having lost their respective spouses several years before. Eventually, Parsons said yes to LaRue, and they held their nuptials in the same swimming pool with the aquatic director officiating. The groom wore a black T-shirt with a tuxedo print and swimming trunks, and the bride donned a white one-piece with a skirt and veil. After the I do's and a bouquet toss, they shared their first dance in waist-high aquamarine bliss. All of this comes from the article labeled, It Wasn't All Bad. Okay, listeners, here's a new way to ward off aging. Do you want to stay young? Learn a second language, preferably even a third. That's the conclusion of a major new study, reports The Times, which found that speaking more than one tongue may help slow accelerated aging. An international team of researchers analyzed data for more than 86,000 adults across 27 European countries, comparing each person's chronological age with a calculated biological age based on cognitive performance, physical function, activity level, sleep quality, and medical history. Those who spoke only one language were more than twice as likely to have a biological age older than their real age, a sign that they were aging faster. Those who were bilingual showed a modest advantage of youthfulness, and each additional language spoken conferred a greater likelihood of a younger biological age than the true age. In an independent analysis of the research, Jason Rossman and Federico Gallo from Lancaster University in England say that the most likely explanation is that mental gymnastics involved in juggling multiple languages provides some sort of protective effect on the brain. So, if you want to stay young, learn a couple of languages. Wolves that use tools. A trail camera in Heiltsuk First Nation territory in the British Columbia area has captured what scientists say may be the first documented case of a wild wolf using a tool. The footage shows a female wolf diving into the water to retrieve the fishing float that marks a crab trap site. She drags the float to the shore, grabs the attached rope in her teeth, and backs up repeatedly to haul up the crab trap. Once she's got it, she tears it open and eats the bait fish inside. The whole operation takes less than 3 minutes. Wolves have apparently been pilfering from crab traps all along the coast, said Heiltsuk. The video evidence adds wolves to the growing list of tool-using animals, which includes crows, octopus, and chimp. The fact that the trap was completely underwater and out of sight makes it hard to argue that she didn't understand the connection between all of the steps, said co-author Kyle Artell from State University of New York College of Environmental Science and Forestry. This wasn't just a random tinkering. So wolves that use tools is a reality. Our next story shows the inventiveness of a young groom. An unemployed French salesman financed his wedding by selling ad space on his tuxedo. Eager to marry his fiancée but completely broke, Dagobert Renault pulled out a social media post seeking sponsors. To his surprise, 26 Tech startups bought placements ranging from $300 to $2,000, depending on visibility, totaling about $10,000. Renouf had to pay taxes on the ad revenue and spent $5,200 on a custom ad-spangled suit, but he did make enough to marry his sweetheart, and his initiative impressed a New York-based startup that offered him a position. "I found my dream job thanks to this," he said. A Florida man was arrested and charged with a DUI while returning from a Halloween party dressed as a prison inmate. Jimmy Glover, 18, was wearing bright orange jumpsuit, pants, and a white tank top when he was pulled over in Port Lucie around 6 a.m. and allegedly failed a sobriety test. He was taken into custody until he posted bond. Glover, quote, "was already dressed for arrest," unquote, the department quipped on Facebook. And it must be true. I read it in the tabloids. A German museum is offering tours with a grumpy guide who berates and insults the public. Inspired in part by the success of rude waiter restaurants, the 70-minute tours at the Kunstpalast Museum in Düsseldorf feature a combative performance artist, Karl Brandy. He snaps at tourgoers for checking their phones and points fingers in their faces and berates them for the stupidity of their questions. "I try to make them feel as ignorant as possible," said Brandy, who also mocks the museum itself. "I thought it was very funny and clever," said one tourgoer, Lothar Richter, 68. "The tours are sold out all the way through 2026. A short walk prevents dementia. Walking a little as 3,000 steps a day may help slow the progression of dementia in older people. In a 14-year study at Mass General Brigham Hospital, researchers tracked nearly 300 adults ages 50 to 90 who were cognitively healthy at the start, using pedometers to monitor activity and PET scans to detect Alzheimer's-related brain changes. They found that 3,000 steps a day appeared to delay cognitive decline by about 3 years, while 5,000 to 7,000 steps daily delayed it by roughly 7 years. Participants with elevated levels of amyloid, a toxic brain protein linked to Alzheimer's, experienced slower buildup of another harmful protein, tau, and slower rate of cognitive decline if they were more physically active. Those who were sedentary saw faster deterioration. Though the researchers cannot rule out the early Alzheimer changes might make people less active, lead author Wei Ying Yo calls the result encouraging. "We're encouraging older adults who are at risk of Alzheimer's to consider making small changes to their activity levels," she says, "to build sustained habits that protect or benefit their brain and cognitive health over time. A short walk prevents dementia." This week's stream, Teddy Roosevelt's Badlands. Our Theodore Roosevelt-themed road trip started out just the way Teddy would have wanted it, terribly, said Sam Graham Felsen in the New York Times. "I decided that my 8-year-old son Saul could use an adventure that help him rebound from adversity. But I hadn't anticipated that during our drive to Theodore Roosevelt National Park in North Dakota, my boy would drench us both with gasoline when I suggested he fill our tank. I'd imagined he would be watching dawn's light slowly paint the Badlands gold, but instead we spent the morning in a laundromat with me trying to remember that trip was intended to teach resilience. Saul is so obsessed with Roosevelt and our national parks that he wears a Junior Ranger vest everywhere he goes. I was hoping the land where Teddy Roosevelt transformed himself into an avatar of the strenuous life could work its image on Saul. The park itself is freakishly beautiful. We drove for an hour among its mushroom-like hoodoos and reds and gold buttes, ancient terrain that makes you instantly aware of your puny notch in the cosmic timeline. It was late when we started a hike, though, and Saul was spent after 10 minutes. The next day went better. Today we climbed one butte after another, ascending higher amid what felt like the world's biggest, coolest playground. Saul proclaimed the park a miracle, and he seemed resilient, rugged, ready for more, unlike I'd ever seen him. During the next 5 days, we visited 6 more national park sites, including Mount Rushmore. The hint of pince-nez glasses on Roosevelt's 60-foot face reminded me that young Teddy was a skinny nerd marked as four eyes. At 25, he came to this region to work as a cattleman at a bar one night. A drunk brandishing two guns demanded that Four Eyes by everyone around. Instead, Teddy socked him in the face. I read to Saul from a Roosevelt biography each night, and TR's machismo caused Saul to begin souring on him. Meanwhile, he became enamored of Pee-wee Herman after his first ever viewing of Pee-wee's Big Adventure, which was fine with me. Pee-wee was a wimp, but he was a wimp who charmed biker gangs with his joy and confidence. That's what I really wanted for Saul, to become a man on his own terms. This week's dream, Teddy Roosevelt's Badlands. Getting the flavor of a night dive on the Great Barrier Reef. There's still hope for the world's largest reef system, said Jessica Vincent in National Geographic Traveler. Though the Great Barrier Reef is struggling to cope with rising ocean temperatures, remote stretches of the 1,500-mile-long reef are in robust health, and visiting them can help the entire ecosystem. I recently joined a 3-night expedition on the 24-passenger Spirit of Freedom, which carried us from Queensland, Australia, coast to Lizard Island, home to a reef research station. I was assured by the crew that divers who visit the reef with an accredited operator are beneficial because they increase funding and help gather data. The waters near Lizard Island teemed with life, revealing what the island is David Attenborough's favorite place on Earth. Even more unforgettable was diving in inky darkness a night earlier. It was an experience that stays with me. As I swing my flashlight before me, red, white, and amber eyes blink back, some belonging to sharks, some to moray eels. Meanwhile, fish in the hundreds dart past my face, close enough to feel the chill of their scales on my skin. Sardinia's sacred fairy houses. In Sardinia, history, legend, and daily life remain inseparable. I recently immersed myself in that rich brew when I toured some of the 17 Neolithic stone necropolises that were collectively designated a UNESCO World Heritage Site. The Mediterranean island is home to 3,500 such underground structures known to locals as fairy houses or domus de Hanas. In Sardinian folklore, these chambers are believed to be the enchanted homes of benevolent, fairy-like women called Hanas, beings said to have taught humans how to bake bread. In truth, they are tombs that were carved into stone between 3200 and 2800 BC by the Ozieri, an advanced people who believed death began a new chapter. My guide told me that the Ozieri saw the earth as a womb, a place that welcomes and transforms. These articles come from the column called Getting the Flavor Of. Heart transplant survivor celebrates joyful day meeting Panthers legend. From the vibrant city of Charlotte, a heartwarming tale emerges, reminding us of the beauty of friendship and the joy of sports. This delightful story centers around Bryson Shoup, a resilient young boy who had triumphed over adversity and experienced a day filled with magic as he cheered on his cherished Carolina Panthers in Green Bay. Bryson was born with a congenital heart defect, which led him to undergo open-heart surgery 8 years ago. During his stay at Atrium Health Levine Children's Hospital, he formed a special connection with another patient, T.J. Olson, the son of the well-known former Panthers tight end, Greg Olson. Their bond blossomed during those challenging days, igniting a shared passion for Panthers football that would last a lifetime. Fast forward to the present, the Brysons are hard work and determined paid off as he celebrated a remarkable day watching his beloved team secure a thrilling victory over the Green Bay Packers. The experience was nothing short of extraordinary for him. Bryson received VIP treatment throughout the day. He embarked on his very first flight from Charlotte, where he got to visit the cockpit, creating memories that would last forever. Upon arrival, he was invited onto the field to witness the pregame warm-ups up close. There, he had the incredible opportunity to meet quarterback Bryce Young, all the while sporting a personalized jersey adorned with his name and signed by the entire team. The joy continued as Bryson made his way to the media deck, where he joyfully reunited with TJ Olsen. The pair shared a heartfelt hug, and TJ asking, "How good is this? How's this for a day?" It was a moment of pure happiness that encapsulated the spirit of friendship. Levine Children's Hospital shared photos capturing Bryson's radiant smile, expressing their pride in seeing him enjoy a phenomenal day. They remarked on how wonderful it is to see Bryson thriving and having the time of his life. In a touching message to a fellow transplant patient and friend back home, Bryson encouraged them with a spirited, "Keep pounding. His journey is a testament to the power of hope and the strength of the human spirit." The article, "Heart Transplant Survivor Celebrates Joyful Day Meeting Panthers Legend." And here is some wit and wisdom to close out today's show. Fortune knocks but once. Misfortune has much more patience. So says Lauren Peter, who is a Canadian writer. Molly Ivins says, "Satire is traditionally the weapon of the powerless against the powerful." John Stuart Mill is quoted as saying, "The mental and moral, like the muscular powers, are improved only by being used." And entrepreneur Victor Klam says, "Procrastination is opportunity's assassin." Thomas Jefferson said, "Neither pagan nor Mahometan nor Jew ought to be excluded from the civil rights of the Commonwealth because of his religion." Leonardo da Vinci is said, "Poor is the pupil who does not surpass his master." And finally, Cornel West says, "Our job is not to solve every problem in the world, but to do our part with grace, integrity, and courage." All these wit and wisdom sayings come from The Week, the best of the international and U.S. media. I hope you enjoyed today's articles. Please join us again next time when we cover interesting and some unusual topics on Nice News. This has been Joyce Vesper, your volunteer broadcaster for Sun Sounds of Arizona, a radio reading service. Stay healthy, everyone. Be well. Be happy. Bye-bye.